talked about.
So, let's get to it. No more small talk. Brass tacks, bare bones to the punch.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now you can't even take your children to school without their telling you you have to be vaccinated. Do you know what they're putting in that damn vaccine? They tell you it's this, but it may be that.
Let me get this straight, though. You have no interest whatsoever in other people's feelings.
That's the gist of it.
You're without empathy?
Mm-hmm.
Or compassion?
It's not ideal.
This is a true superpower.
I love this.
It's like the discovery
of autism.
Of a new superhero.
And now...
Here's how things work here. My job is to make the office fun. Your job is to make the office lame. And we have an eternal struggle, you and I. And only one of us can be the winner. Spoiler alert, I'm going to win.
Our feature presentation.
It's the 22nd of October.
Damn it.
Why won't he let us kill him?
I was thinking this morning, remember back in the good old days when October was just something on the path to Blovember?
Sure.
And then double December and for January and February Ola. We had them all. Remember those good times?
I sure do, yeah.
Yeah. October. October used to be my favorite month. Now it's my least favorite month, thanks to Beer Mug. Because we saw how close we got. Being able to almost fire Beer Mug is like getting to the World Series and losing. Anyway, how y'all?
Good.
We all good.
Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get started, we do have a fantastic Kevin and Bean Show planned for you today. What is your guys' policy when these stories come about in the news from time to time where you'll see some, you know, 25-year-old teacher at a high school and then it is revealed.
Hot?
She's hot.
Okay.
And then it is revealed that she also maybe has made some adult videos perhaps, either professionally or private that are on the internet. And then the school finds out about it and they fire her. Doesn't have anything to do with her teaching. Doesn't mean she's not a good teacher. Doesn't mean she still doesn't have the... You know, the education, the experience to be a good teacher, but she gets fired because of something that happened before she was a teacher because they say it's a distraction to those in the classroom. What's your thought on that?
That's a tough one.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
I mean, they can distract themselves in a million ways, right? So this is just one other thing, but half of them are there imagining her even without it.
It's a pretty big distraction.
Do you fire her, Lisa, if you're the administrator in that school?
I don't think so.
Really?
I give her a bonus about once a week.
You mean a bone or a bone? I'm sorry, did you say bone?
Bone. For us.
Oh, yeah, that's what, for us, right.
Right.
I mean, the argument is that it's disruptive to the classroom because it's all they'll be talking about is, oh, did you see her video? Oh, did you see her video?
Right.
Rather than paying attention to what she's saying. It kind of the argument is it undermines her authority as a teacher. But both of you keep that teacher employed. You don't hold it against her, even though you got the parents breathing down your neck saying that's not the kind of person I want teaching my kid.
That's the problem. It's not really the kids; it's the parents, and the parents are nightmares.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's her choice, and it was legal. So you're
right.
Firing her for doing something that was legal.
Is it good though? I mean, have we seen it? Is it good?
This, by the way, is an imaginary scenario. I'm not talking about a specific teacher.
I'm just asking.
No, that's the prelude to the story I'm going to tell you is I wanted to get your feelings on that. So you guys are cool with that teacher.
Well, I think times are changing.
If she's hot. I'm sorry. Back to you, Lisa.
I believe every teacher that has been in the situation thus far has been fired.
Yes, sure. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. And the reason I bring that up is to bring this up. Whatever, if you're at all on the fence about that one, dear listener, listen to this story out of France that just broke yesterday. Here's a 73-year-old drama teacher, okay? She's 73, and she's a drama teacher. She's not teaching little kids history, okay? She has been fired because it was revealed that she appeared in softcore erotic French films in the 1960s.
73 years old.
God's sake.
Yes. She was fired after male students discovered she had acted in films in the 1960s and went to school administrators. She'd been working there for 15 years. The school's director said she was no longer an appropriate role model and that her past threatened class atmosphere. Now, this is a woman who was an actress, okay? That's why she's a drama teacher today. The school continues, the fact that these films were shot 40 years ago doesn't change their bold and suggestive character. The availability on the internet of erotic films in which she acted created an entirely new context that was not ideal for our students. This is shocking to me.
Well, that means for the rest of your life.
Yes, that's correct.
There are things you cannot do.
You don't grow out of that.
And by
right?
the way, here's what's a little weird is that the entire landscape has changed. In that we all have access to, you know, the internet and selfies. I don't even know how we're going to elect a president ever.
Well, we're not.
We're going to have more information about these people and these
That's
teachers.
That's right. It's just going to be a vacant spot at the top. Right. I did it as a young actress to make money. The films were at the beginning of my career. They let me earn a living to be in Paris, continue my studies. Afterwards, more interesting films came along. She says they were soft, erotic works that were common to the period. They were not hardcore pornography. Every actress in the world has done some nude scenes. The idea of throwing someone out the door for something they did almost 50 years ago is idiotic, she told the Globe and Mail newspaper. It makes me angry. It makes me angry, too, by the way.
I do,
seriously.
Too. I think that society is changing, and we're going to have to just accept that these things happen. Yeah.
And encourage them.
It's just the world
that we live in
now.
Where do we encourage them? What's
wrong? We absolutely encourage them.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, we do. But, I mean, again, she's a drama teacher teaching acting students, and this is something she did as an actress. So I don't see what the downside is on that. I mean, it would be unrealistic for her to say to these people, hey, you'll never have to do a movie that you don't like or a movie where you're put in a situation, you know, where
right.
there might be some nudity.
Right.
I mean, that is certainly part of her business.
According to one student.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Well, anyway, so that happened. And of all places, France. Doesn't it seem like France would be a little more open-minded about something like that?
I mean, they have porn pretty much on the broadcast TV at night.
The mistresses hang out, you know, in broad daylight with their politicians. You know, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of stigma against the sexy things in France. So I was just surprised and disappointed to see that story.
I agree.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I feel like grabbing you by your ears right now and screaming in your face, I'm not interested.
That's generally a pretty good stance. However, today we have a pretty good show. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have online dating nightmares and disasters.
Nope.
We don't have that.
We have Andrew
Anderson.
Though. Yes, we do.
Anthony Anderson. We have a Canadian city that has canceled Halloween. They can't go door-to-door there. They're trying to put together some kind of a thing in a gym. I don't know.
Oh.
Wait till you hear the reason why they've canceled Halloween. It's the first time ever.
And I got to say, I'm on their side. It doesn't seem like that would be a fun Halloween.
Are you kidding? It makes it so much more exciting and scary, which is what you want for Halloween.
Well, that's
we'll discuss
true.
Coming up.
That is true. Festival Supreme tickets today. We have a game that's insanely stupid.
And we can't wait.
We can't wait. We also have Jake Gyllenhaal on the program today.
Oh, pretty cool.
And some live music from Milky Chance.
Yes.
And out of Germany. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Wednesday morning, time to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. We have a part-time Showbiz reporter now, so we take turns filling in. We didn't get a chance to talk about this enough yesterday, but it was all anybody could concentrate on, and that is Renee Zellweger's new face.
It's entirely new.
Entirely new.
It looks like they may have grown it in a beaker.
Like in a lab?
Yeah.
In a lab, and they just grafted it onto her head?
Yep.
Renee Zellweger, for folks who maybe don't even know, because she hasn't been working much in recent years, was a pretty big star back around, late 90s, early 2000s?
Sure.
She was in Jerry Maguire, if I recall correctly. That was her big breakout role. She was America's Sweetheart in Jerry Maguire, which would have been, late 90s? And then she had the Bridget Jones Diaries movies. Yep. And in the mid-2000s, I think she was in was she the one who starred in Cold Mountain, too? Was that her?
Yes.
Or am I thinking of somebody else?
Yeah, no, she was in that.
So she had some big movies, and she was a big star. And then she kind of went away a little bit. And she turned up this week in Hollywood at an event called the ELLE, the magazine, Women in Hollywood Awards. And people just gasped when she walked out onto the red carpet once it was explained to them who she was. First, they didn't gasp because they thought, oh, I don't know who that lady is. But then they gasped when they were told it was Renee Zellweger. Now, we don't know exactly what happened to her, but experts are weighing in who, of course, did not treat her with guesses as to what she might have done to make her face look so different. Here's a plastic surgeon, a plastic and cosmetic surgeon in Britain, who says that she may have had an upper eye lift, which I think was your theory, right, Lisa?
Yes.
As the distance between her brow and her eye is much smaller than before. He also said that there's more eyelid showing and that her eyes look much bigger. However, her brows are not higher, which suggests she hasn't had a brow lift. Her forehead is smooth. You would expect more expressive wrinkles when she smiles, which indicates a possible small dose of Botox between the eyelid and the eye. He also suggested that she could have had non-surgical treatments, such as an ultrasound therapy to firm up the skin and a medical-grade facial to get rid of the dead skin cells. I mean, she does look healthy.
Yeah, but...
It's just her eyes. I think her eyes are the big difference.
And her face. I mean, she did always look like she was just ate a lemon. I mean, she always had that sour look in her
right.
in her cheeks.
But I think it was because of her eyes.
Well, that's no, because her cheeks were facing her eyes closed, you know, forcing her eyes closed. I don't know.
Maybe so.
She looks she doesn't look bad at all. She right. just
it's
doesn't
so
look
shocking,
like her.
Though. No. Well, you'd be happy to know that she has given her first interview on the subject to People magazine, and I thought it was interesting to hear it from her perspective. She said that the conversations about her looks are silly. I'm living a different, happy, more fulfilling life, and I'm thrilled that perhaps it shows. So she's not cottoning
what?
To any kind of work.
She's just saying she's happier?
My friends
she started-
say...
Go ahead.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
My friends say that I look peaceful. I am healthy. For a long time, I wasn't doing such a good job with that. I took on a schedule that is not realistically sustainable and didn't allow for taking care of myself. Rather than stopping to recalibrate, I kept running until I was depleted and made bad choices about how to conceal the exhaustion. Is she suggesting maybe that she was doing drugs or burning the candle at both ends or what?
Her schedule must have been wacky.
I guess so, to make her face look
liar.
Like that. I was aware of the chaos and finally chose different things. I did work that allows for being still, making a home, loving someone, learning new things, growing as a creative person, and
that's
finally growing into myself.
That's all great. That's fantastic, but that doesn't change what happened to her face.
People don't know me in my 40s. People don't know me as healthy for a while. Perhaps I look different. Who doesn't as they get older?
Oh, for God's
well,
sake.
Well, here's the thing. You don't look like somebody else entirely.
Entirely.
You look like an older you.
I'm with Kevin. There's more than the eyebrow thing or eye lift thing going on here. Because when Jennifer Grey, the Dirty Dancing actress, when she had her nose fixed, it completely changed her look, right? She was unrecognizable. But the rest of her face stayed the same. It really was just her nose. It seems like there's more going on here in Renee's eyes.
Why is it such a downside for actresses just to admit that they had some plastic surgery
that's
done?
That's a really good
because
question.
Because
that's
she
a
came
great
out,
question.
She came out and said, yeah, I fixed a couple things that were bothering me. Story over.
Right.
No one cares.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, she could even, you know, an actress could even shine it back on Hollywood and say, this is because I'm an actress, this is what's required for me to continue to work.
Right.
And no one could argue with that.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I thought it was interesting to hear what she had to say about it because the rest of us were just talking about it yesterday, but now we know what it's like on the inside of that crazy head.
Ralph did a story earlier this week about who's the father of Khloe Kardashian, which seems to be the latest. It's all the rage.
That's our game.
The national obsession.
We're just guessing a bunch of different people. One was OJ. Apparently, that's supposedly not true. We don't know for sure. The last one that Ralph mentioned was Lionel Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And TMZ has caught up with Lionel Richie, and he said he is not her father.
Of course.
Did he go
did.
On Maury?
He did not go on Maury, but it seems like the world is going on Maury. They should just parade male celebrities up there and just proclaim them yes or no.
Unless Khloe decides to start getting DNA tests from all of the possible fathers, we're never going to know because there's no way Kris Jenner knows.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Right?
That's true. That's a good
point.
She was
all over the place.
Exactly. Sounds like she had a very fun time in the 1970s. Lionel Richie wouldn't admit to that if he didn't have to anyway. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about singer Zach Hanson? He's the girl, right? Isn't he
the girl drummer? Girl drummer, I think.
29 years old. Also, comic Carlos Mencia. Sorry, comic in quotes. Carlos Mencia is 47 years old today. Actor Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who's so brilliant on Modern Family, he is 39 years old today. Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future is 76. Actor Jeff Goldblum, one of the best, 62 years old. And Jonathan Lipnicki. We were talking about Jerry Maguire a minute ago with Renee Zellweger. Mm-hmm. The little kid in that movie, Jonathan Lipnicki. I got it right. He's the one from that movie, right?
Yes. I don't know. Yes. The human head weighs 10 pounds or
that
something?
Kid, 8 yeah. pounds, right? That's 24 years old now.
Mine's wow. 10 pounds.
24!
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the reason we celebrate today is one of the all-time greats, ladies and gentlemen. Guess who's 46? It's Shaggy.
To be a true player, you have to know how to play. If she say a night, can't be so say a day. Never admit to a word where she say. I need to claim her, you tell her, baby, no way.
I get about one out of every six words in this song.
I bet she caught me on the counter.
It wasn't me. I know that part.
There you go.
It wasn't me. I even had her in the shower.
That was a thing that was popular and that people liked and bought. That's what happened.
That's correct.
And that's this hour's K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
Shouldn't talk about it.
Got that band coming up later on this morning. That is Milky Chance on the world famous K-Rock. The song's called Stolen Dance. And after having done a little research on the band, they are the least likely band to write a song about dancing.
That's really?
Well,
they just,
there's not a lot of movement
okay.
there.
Okay.
I love the All song. Right. Right? But dancing, not really their thing.
Other people are dancing to
Correct.
It more than the band is, maybe.
Yes.
I understand. Hey, later this hour, tickets for Festival Supreme. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, which is going to be next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, at the Fonda with 30 Seconds to Mars. Dave the King of Mexico joins us in studio because we want to talk about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The original movie I've seen 100 times in my life. I don't know that I ever saw the Johnny Depp remake.
You're lucky.
Was it bad?
It was terrible. It wasn't terrible. I liked it, but it wasn't the original. Like, if you put them side by side, the original is just – it's tough to top.
More fun.
It's
More
tough
fun.
To top. It yeah. was a little weirder. It was weirder just because of Johnny Depp. You
and
know?
The fact that the Tim Burton one was terrible, that helps.
How dare
well,
you?
Well, it's in the news. It's in the news right now because of Les Claypool has gotten his original classic lineup of the band Primus back together, and they released a new album that just came out this week, which is all covers of songs from the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That was the original movie. It was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in the remake, right? So he said, we need to make sure that if the kids of the future watch the original Willy Wonka, not the horrendous, horrible remake that came along and left the taste of feces in our mouth. That's one of the reasons why he wanted to focus attention on the songs from the original movie, and that's why he did a track-by-track cover of all of them.
Now, that's a strange decision. How long has it been since they put out a new album?
It has been
20 years?
Something like that, yeah. Crazy amount of time.
So you go 20 years, and this is what gets you back together? Weird.
They also, by the way, continuing a theme of the film, they are going to have a golden ticket. The album came out, and now there are 5 copies of the album around the world that have free Primus concert tickets for life included in that album if you happen to buy it. Just like the golden ticket to win the Chocolate Factory.
So you get to see him like 3 times?
Yeah, they're going
to
play one. That's it.
They're not exactly known for touring.
No, they're not. They're not exactly road dogs. But the real question, having talked about all this, is how about their versions of the songs? How does the music stack up? Now, I've not heard this yet, Kevin.
No, but you know Primus well enough to guess.
Yes.
I mean, they just are weird. And I love them and hate some of them. I don't know. It's just that they have a weird musical taste. But this is called Primus and the Chocolate Factory with the Fungi Ensemble.
All right.
Here's the original song, Pure Imagination.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
What a lovely little song that is.
Wow.
The great Gene Wilder singing there,
yes.
Sure. Primus.
Come with me.
Oh, that's,
so good.
I think that, I mean, they've tweaked it a little bit, but that's along with the, I think that's consistent with the spirit of the original
I don't
movie.
Hate that. I'm not okay. hating on it. This is Candyman.
Who can take a sunrise?
The original.
Sprinkle it with dew. Cover it in chocolate and a miracle or two. It's the Candyman. The Candyman. Candyman can.
Primus.
Okay.
I'm a Candyman wife. Everything he makes, satisfying and delicious.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to remind you they haven't recorded in 20 years.
Yes,
this is
exactly
what brought them together.
Please save that clip for the next time Ralph asks us to play a song for him on the Showbiz Beat. That's a great one.
Here's the original for Golden Ticket. And if you remember Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, that's what everybody was looking for in the candy bars. You get the Golden Ticket, you might win the entire chocolate factory. Was that the
That's idea? Right. That's right. Yeah.
So here's the original.
Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way.
And Primus. Not bad.
You said Primus, right? Not Marilyn Manson?
No, Primus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Primus. The next one is Oompa Augustus. Now, Dave, this is when the kid blew up to a giant fat
blueberry
yeah. ball. All right, here's the original.
Oompa, Oompa, doopa-dee-dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
And Primus' version.
Oompa, Oompa, doopa-dee-doo. I've got a perfect puzzle for you. Oompa, Oompa, doopa-dee-dee. If you're wise, you'll listen to me.
Isn't it amazing, by the way, for a movie that came out in the 1960s? Early 70s, maybe? That
71, maybe?
So many recognizable songs on this soundtrack.
Yeah, I think it's because everybody watches, you know, the repeats on TV or whatever.
Right, right.
Dave, tell us about the semi-wondrous boat ride. I don't remember why they were on a boat, but it turned into like a house of horrors. What happened?
Wait, it's the first one. This is the one where I believe they just hop on the chocolate river, right? And then, like, the bubbles start coming out, and they're getting all wet, and then they go through the little squeegee.
No, I think that's Wonkmobile.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, this is
the semi-boat ride is when they go in through the tunnel, and all the crazy images come out. The
and
chicken's
it's like
head gets chopped off.
It's like an acid flashback.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And then they said, just stop. And then they're where their destination, which they didn't really move anywhere.
And here's the original. So you got that going for you.
All right, very dramatic.
And then you got Primus. Okay.
It just got dark in here.
I think it would help if you're high.
Absolutely.
And finally, the Wonkmobile. All right, Dave, I want to hear you try to describe the scene again.
All right, this is the one where they're in the boat and bubbles are popping out in the like the foam and everything. They're getting all over them, and then they go through the squeegee, and it like cleans them all up, and they're dry.
Here's the original.
See, they go through the squeegee.
Okay.
Primus.
Kevin, how many albums do you buy to own a year?
I actually buy a lot.
Uh-huh.
I actually buy a lot, but I did buy this one, if that's what you're asking.
That was a surprise to me that out of all the things that came out this year, you bought this one.
Well, I mean, I'd like to just mention that song was pretty unbelievable. That last one by itself was worth purchasing.
Well, I know our listeners are going to want to run right out and get it. Called
they're singing or whatever they're doing.
I hope you're blasting this album at Halloween and then no kids will come by your house.
Hey, do people need to call right now? I guess we should have talked about this off the air. Do people need to call for the thing?
Yes, they do. And do we explain the thing now? Because it seems impossible.
No, I think we just are looking for contestants who love comedy. That's all we're looking for. Right. If you want to get a pair of tickets to Festival Supreme, it's going to be Saturday night at the Shrine Expo Hall featuring the great Tenacious D, Cheech and Chong, Drunk History, Workaholics, Bill Hader, so much more. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold. You get a chance to play a brand new game. Our success rate on new games on the Kevin and Bean Show is about 5%.
Yeah, I was going to say 10, but I'll go 5.
So I don't know how this was going to go, but we think it's going to be fun. So call now. We'll put you on hold for a couple minutes, give you a chance to play. First, though, I don't know anything about anything, but I do know that polar bears plus little kids equals polar bears.
Yeah, it seems to be a bad mixture.
That's the scientific formula of which I am aware. And they're having some problems in parts of Canada right now. Up there in the Hudson Bay, you know, they got so many polar bears up there, and there's a migration pattern. And now there's less ice than ever before, so the migration patterns have changed, and polar bears are getting closer and closer to towns. Well, Arviat is one of the towns that's up there in northern Canada. And the polar bears are so prevalent now in the town that they're trying to get people to not go out at night. Because polar bears will see you and they will eat you.
Can you imagine having to live in a city where you literally have to look around for a polar bear?
That's terrifying.
Yes, the biggest problem in L.A. is, am I going to make the red light?
Right.
That's the polar bears could eat you. So with Halloween next week, the mayor of the small town of Arviat says, we just can't do it anymore. You can't trick or treat. You can't go outside at night, especially if you're dressed up like a seal. You just can't go door to door in this small town because you might get eaten by a polar bear. So he has moved the Halloween celebrations indoors. They have canceled trick or treating, kids.
Aww. What a bummer, right?
Yeah.
So we thought we'd check in with the mayor and find out exactly what's going on.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, eh? How's it going there?
It's going well. It's going fine. You must be getting into the time of year where it's pretty darn cold up there in northern Canada, huh?
It sure is. That's why we have polar bears.
Yeah.
Because it's cold. Turns out the polar bears don't come out when it's too warm out.
Yeah. I understood, but I mean, the polar bears are up there year-round, but I'm just saying right now it's also starting to get cold on top of your woes with bears perhaps eating trick-or-treaters.
Sure is, yeah. We got to bundle up pretty much up here this time of year because it's pretty chilly.
Yeah. So what was the reaction like from the town when you said you were going to enforce this no trick-or-treating policy this year?
Oh, the kids are pretty upset, eh, because they love to go, you know, door-to-door and ring the bell and get some delicious candy, some poutine or something, you know, from the people.
Sure.
And so they're kind of upset because they wanted to go around like, you know, any kid does. They want to go out there trick-or-treating. But I said, look, you know, it's one thing to get yourself a Mars bar or something, but it's another thing to get your ass bitten by a polar bear.
Yeah. You actually said those words?
I did.
Okay.
I meant words, eh?
Yeah, you just gotta be careful. You just gotta, you know, even if it's unpopular, you've gotta do what you think is best for the kids in town.
Polar bears are dangerous, you know. We haven't had many altercations with them, but, you know, we just can't take any chances.
Yeah.
You know, hold it.
I can see that.
Hold on a sec, somebody's at the door. I think it's a trick. Hello there, how you doing?
What? You all right, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Did yeah. That was a polar bear?
Yeah, they've learned to ring doorbells.
They rang the doorbell.
Oh, God.
Wow. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
They're smarter animals than I thought.
Yeah, I was worried about the trick-or-treaters.
Wow.
Yeah,
now the polar bears seem to be trick-or-treating.
Well, like we were talking about, you know, their whole migration is thrown off with this, you know, whatever the reason is, the global warming or whatever.
Yeah, they're
you know, it's
there.
Harder and harder to find fish. And
yeah, they're not out there on the ice anymore. Now they're in the town. I guess they smell food or whatever in the houses.
Wow.
So it's just
it was tough.
Hold on a second.
Tough.
Somebody's at the door here. Hold on a second. Yeah, I did for you.
Again?
What?
So unfortunate.
That was a completely different polar bear, too.
A different one.
What are the odds?
Sounded exactly the same.
He was not the same. It was a different one.
Now, what do you do to get him to go away? Do you give him candy?
Well, this is a new wrinkle.
Right.
We've never really had this one before. We warned the kids about going out trick-or-treating, but we never had the actual polar bears going door-to-door trick-or-treating.
Well,
I'm not quite sure what they may, like, give them a fish or something, they'll go away.
I see, okay.
I don't know, you start feeding a wild animal, I think they start hanging around more, Mr. Mayor. You got to be careful.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm bleeding pretty good now, right now.
Well, don't get...
Yeah, what can I do for you?
No!
Do you need to go to the hospital?
That one was dressed up like a pirate.
I always get a scared when Omar steps into the studio. It's usually bad news for our listeners.
It's always good news.
It's always great to try a new game as well. And we have tickets for Festival Supreme, which is Saturday at the Shrine Expo Hall. You got your Tenacious D, Cheech and Chong, Drunk History, Workaholics, Bill Hader. There's a long list of people, and we have a pair of tickets for you. Now, Bean, I want you to pitch to the listeners like you did us. Starting with, this may be a terrible idea.
Yeah. Well, it is a terrible idea, and I think I will be proven right on that. But I was just suggesting that, you know, a lot of times when we do a giveaway tickets to a concert or something like that, it's easy to play songs from the band or have the listeners sing or whatever. But this is a comedy show, and we know how terrible people are at telling jokes. But people are into comedy. I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see if people could identify famous celebrity laughs? We're talking about comedy, celebrity laughs.
So we're going to play a clip of a celebrity laughing?
That's what you would think, right? But no. Omar is going to be doing an impression of a celebrity laughing.
Well, as you guys know, I am the man of a thousand voices.
That's true.
You are. And all of them are terrible.
Now, these are not necessarily, and I don't even think any of them are, on Festival Supreme. So it's just it's just general celebrity laughs.
Yeah, they all have unique laughs. And
they're all famous. They're all famous laughs. They're all laughs. I would be surprised if several people don't get these right, depending on how faithful Omar's renditions
are. I would be surprised if anyone gets these right. Let's start with Sarah.
Well, why don't we play the big intro first, because this is a brand new game that we're happy to debut for you called Laugh-A-Rokey.
That's what I meant.
Laugh-A-Rokey. Omar really blows. Just gets the laughing. You win tickets to the show. Laugh-A-Rokey. This is not gonna be good. It's time for laughing. I'm gonna blow.
Yeah, I'm so thugged.
I'm so sorry. All right, Kevin, now you can talk to your girlfriend, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Welcome to Laugh-A-Rokey, where Omar does his impression of a celebrity laugh, and you have to tell us the celebrity.
Okay. Now, if you're right, you will go into the drawing. Someone in this segment will win tickets to Saturday night, so good luck. Here's Omar. Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah?
All right.
That's plenty. Thank you. All right, thank you. Sarah, who's that?
I have no idea.
That was the easiest one!
He's not going to get closer to anyone.
and it was so good, too!
Beavis and Butthead.
Come on. Sarah, you disgust me.
Let's go to Nick in Rosemead. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good.
Nick, tell me you got Beavis and Butthead.
I got Beavis and Butthead.
All right.
Okay, good. Here's Omar with celebrity laugh number two. Right, that's Fido. Thank you.
We don't need 30 seconds, though.
Like John Travolta?
Oh!
What?
That was George Takei.
It's Star Trek's Mr. Sulu, one of the most famous laughs in show business.
I'm telling you, we're going to go 0 for 1.
Oh, I hope not.
It's going to happen.
All right, look, so can I just say that so far, though, it's not on O, it's on the listeners.
I think
O's impressions, both of them were gettable.
All right, Tim in Redondo Beach, hi.
Hello.
Good luck with this. If you get that, I'm going to throw in $10.
My God.
Pee Wee Herman?
Yes!
He get that.
You owe him $10.
Amazing. All right, you are in the drawing.
I need a ruling. Do I owe him $10 regardless if he wins the drawing?
Yes.
Well,
you said if you get that, you owe him $10.
Well, even if your name doesn't get called, hold on.
Right, so he can't lose.
How
Tim is already a winner today.
Somebody tell me. That was not Pee Wee Herman.
Because I'm awesome.
That was terrible. Watch out. That one was terrible, O.
I was looking at the answer and it didn't sound like it. Steve in Azusa, hi.
What'd it do?
Not good. I just gave up $10.
Steve, this is a terrible game, right, Steve?
This is an amazing game. I wish you guys did it more often.
All right.
I can't believe we're on the radio.
We will do it more often. All right. Here's Omar with the celebrity laugh. Tell us who the celebrity is. better than Pee Wee Herman.
That Fat Albert?
Oh, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
That was Eddie Murphy. I'm so sorry. Nice try, though. Eddie Murphy. And I thought, again, I mean, it was a decent O.
It was on point.
It was better decent. Than freaking Pee Wee Herman. How did he get that? Ulysses in Whittier.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
There are not enough guys named Ulysses these days. That's awesome, man.
Take it
that
easy.
That is powerful.
All right, take it easy.
All right, listen up. We're playing Laugh Faroki with DJ Omar Khan. Who's this celebrity laugh he's doing impression of?
Sally?
Who?
Sorry, who?
Sally? Girl?
Just a regular name, Sally?
Your friend?
I mean, we were looking for celebrities, and we don't recognize Sally.
We were looking for Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
The nanny. I'm so sorry. Thanks for playing. All right, so far, Tim has Kevin's $10, and he's still in the drawing for tickets for Festival Supreme. I think we have time for a couple more.
David in Orange. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Bad things are up. We're doing Laugh-A-Rokey. Good luck.
Hey! Hey!
Beer mug.
it is a Jew.
It was Krusty the Clown, Omar.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
Krusty. All right, final contestant here on Laugh-A-Rokey. So far, only one in the drawing.
Ryan in La Habra, hi.
Howdy.
Ryan, how you been doing listening on hold? You've heard a bunch of them.
Yeah, no, I'm not very confident with
them. Okay.
Or right. Should you be?
You shouldn't be, that's right. All right, Omar, good luck.
Wait, are we doing celebrity goats? What's going on here?
That's your clue? All right. Good luck, Ryan.
I'm going to throw out Peter Griffin.
Oh, yes!
What?
That's what I'm talking about.
How Peter did that Griffin? Happen? All right. That was amazing, Ryan. Amazing. You are in the drawing, as is Tim. Only one woman tickets for this Saturday night's Festival Supreme. Lisa May, who's it going to be, please?
Tim is the winner.
Tim.
Yay!
Tim, somehow you cheated. I'm not sure how you did it, but good luck and have fun Sunday night. Saturday night, I apologize. And my $10 is as well.
Laugh-A-Rokey. Omar really blows.
Like what?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Two very fine actors joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show in the 7 o'clock hour. First up, Jake Gyllenhaal talking about his new film called Nightcrawler. And then Anthony Anderson stops by from ABC's Black-ish. That's all coming up. Lisa May's filling in for Ralph Kramer this hour on the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Well, let's talk about Lord. She's the curator for The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. I love The Hunger Games. I read all the books, and I think the movies are awesome.
I didn't read the books, but I do love the movies as well.
They're great. Yeah. And
because reading is for losers. That's why.
Of course.
Right, that's what I say to make myself feel better because I can't read.
I didn't really read it. I'm just kidding.
Okay, good.
I just do that to make me sound smart.
Good.
So we didn't know what was going to be on the soundtrack. We knew Lord was going to have a song or two, but she did release the soundtrack, except for one song, which she said is not done yet. It's not, she's trying to be real secretive, but it's just not quite
ready. Well, we had Lord on a couple of weeks ago, and when we world premiered the brand new song, that Yellow Flicker Beat, and we begged her for anything. Just give us one person. She wouldn't budge. She said, it's all under wraps. I guess she was waiting until this week.
Right, and so that song, Yellow Flicker Beat, is going to be on it, and the Kanye West rework of it is also on this.
Okay.
Which should be very interesting. And then Lord, I think it's, is it Stromae? Are you familiar with that artist?
Stromae?
I'm not.
Yeah, Stromae.
That's a lunch meat, right?
Stromae featuring Lord, Pusha T, Q-Tip, and Haim. Are going to be on a track called Meltdown.
That's too many artists on
one
song.
Yeah, that's a lot. Churches will be on something called Dead Air. Tove Lo's got a song. Ooh. Charlie XCX featuring Simon Le Bon.
Wow.
Should be interesting.
Featuring Simon Le Bon.
Uh-huh. Tinashe.
Yes, she's great.
Bat for Lashes has a song.
Awesome.
And Grace Jones as well. And the Chemical Brothers.
How weird to have Simon Le Bon and Grace Jones on a Hunger Games soundtrack in 2014.
I can't wait to
That's
hear
bizarre.
It. Yeah, it should be
The Chemical Brothers one is out there, and I like it.
That's very cool. Jennifer Lopez is coming to Las Vegas. That's a show I might actually see.
Is it in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Can you drink and gamble?
Yes.
Okay, I'm out.
I see where you're going.
Go ahead.
All right, so she's going to be in the same venue that Britney Spears is performing in, the Axis at Planet Hollywood. And she is being offered, she hasn't actually signed the deal yet, but it's in the works. She's being offered $350,000 a show.
A show? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is a little bit more than Britney is making. She's only making $310,000. I would stomp my feet and demand a new deal if I were Britney.
That's a night's work for her, is $300,000. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's stunning.
You know her hit song, right? I love you, Poppy.
There's a not to change the subject, but while we're talking about crazy amounts of money, you go out and work one night. I read the Billy Joel profile in the New Yorker this month. He brings home over $1 million a night that he plays at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, my God.
Is he still playing there?
Yeah, he remember he does that residency where he plays like three nights a month or something like that. Every month he plays three shows. So he helicopters from his place on Long Island into the city, goes, does 2 hours on stage, helicopters home, and he's got $1 million in his pocket. It's just, it's hard to believe.
In cash?
Well, I don't know that they're paying me
in
cash.
No, they just load up the helicopter.
I'm just saying, it's just like this Britney Spears thing. She probably goes downstairs from the penthouse at the hotel. She performs for 90 minutes, and she goes back upstairs and goes, yeah, I just made myself $310,000. I mean, it's just remarkable.
Yeah, it's stunning. They do work pretty hard. J-Lo's going to do 72 shows three times a week for 24 weeks. It could be for 1 year or two. They haven't decided. And Britney does, she's doing 96 shows over a two-year period. So in the end, Britney's going to make about $29 million.
In 1 year.
For 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. And J-Lo is guaranteed $26
million. Wow.
And all that's chump change because Celine Dion, who does 70 shows a year, gets $33 million.
Wow.
Wow. We're in the wrong business, you guys.
Ain't we?
We need to be female singers.
That's right.
Danielle Watts. Do you remember who she is?
Danielle Watts.
She was the Django Unchained
actress
who got into trouble with police because she and her boyfriend were in a car and some people saw them and said that they were possibly having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And the police showed up and she started screaming, the only reason you're here is because I'm black and my boyfriend's white and you think I'm a prostitute and this is racism. So,
well, how did she learn all that?
Gotten fascinating. First of all, she has now been charged officially by the police. She and her boyfriend each have been charged with one count of lewd conduct and could face a maximum of 6 months in jail. Probably not.
Wait, you can't have sex in public anymore?
You never could, Kevin.
What?
These new rules, man. It is getting more and more like communism every day.
The man is clamping down on us.
And she's still saying, I was just hugging him in the car with all my clothes on.
Yeah.
If that's illegal, I don't want to live here.
Yeah, nobody called the police because they saw people hugging in a car. No. I'm sorry.
But here's the kind of sad part to me. So Sergeant Jim Parker was the guy we heard on the tape, on the recording of that whole exchange. And he was super calm, remember? And like handling her outrage and her being on the phone with her dad and all that stuff. Well, now he's in huge trouble with the LAPD.
Why?
He can't wear his uniform. He can't be on patrol. He can't have civilian contact because that tape was actually, I thought it was released by the LAPD. It wasn't. He released it to TMZ.
Ooh.
And they did not like that. And then
they thought there was, hey, this is an ongoing investigation. It's an internal matter. The press shouldn't be involved, right?
And he's being accused of getting money for that, and he's saying that he didn't. And then he was told to not contact the press in any way, and then he did an LA Times interview.
Mm.
So
he plays by his own rules.
He thinks he will probably lose his job. He faces multiple insubordination allegations, and he's gone on medical leave from stress.
Wow.
So the whole story, the whole thing is just...
There's no winners here.
It's a bummer, yeah. Celebrity birthdays, Christopher Lloyd, 76 years old, actor Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park, and his latest movie was The Grand Budapest Hotel, which was awesome.
Yep.
Bob Odenkirk is 52, Carlos Mencia, comedian, 47, singer Shaggy is 46, Spike Jones, the director from Being John Malkovich, and Her is 45, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family is 39, and that's the Showbiz Beat.
Time to talk to Jake Gyllenhaal, about his new movie, Nightfall.
Nice job, Kevin.
I'm starting a TV news business. I film breaking stories.
You beat the police.
It's Excuse me. I have something you'll be very excited about.
I want you to contact me when you have something.
Something like this.
Think of our newscast as a screaming woman running down the street with her throat cut.
You will be seeing me again.
You gotta call the cops.
And we will, at the right time.
Start filming.
I'm Detective Fonieri.
I think you withheld information.
That would be a very unprofessional thing for me to do.
It would be murder.
I want something people can't turn away from.
911, what's your emergency?
No, a lot of bad things happen in this movie, you guys. Nightcrawler opens everywhere next weekend. It's just in time for Halloween. Jake Gyllenhaal back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Oh, so good. How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry I butchered your name three times in a row.
It was a quick butchering.
It was quick.
But you're used to that in your long career, I would imagine.
You cut a piece of it, put it back on, then you put it all back together.
Exactly.
It was fine.
All right, good. Jake, I got to tell you, I was lucky enough to see a screening of this film, Nightcrawler. And you know how some movies you feel icky afterwards, some movies you need to take a hot shower. I don't think there's a hot shower enough in the world to get you off of me after seeing this movie. I mean, it's chemical bath time with this character you're playing in this film, sir. Seriously.
Well, people said some weird things to me in the past, but that was one of the weirdest things ever.
Yeah.
To get me off of you, it's definitely a disturbing character, but I think it's kind of fun too.
It's so unbelievably intense. I mean, I can't think of another role that you've done where you play a guy with this kind of sense of purpose and intensity and single-mindedness. I mean, he just has no human soul to him at all. People are just obstacles in his way, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh at that, but it is, you know, there's a bit of, satirical quality to him. You know, I feel like he is so kind of amoral in that way that it's fun to watch, you know. In the end, I think it's talking about stuff that's going on today, you know, with the media and all that, but ultimately the character is really fun to watch.
For people that haven't seen the trailer, they just heard that. Tell us what your character is and what he does.
By the way, that's my favorite thing, is listening to a trailer.
Yeah, we do that all the time. And
it's the most confusing thing you can do to
somebody.
We get
nothing but negative response, and we keep doing it. That's how we roll.
Literally, half of it was just noise and blur. Yep. I don't have no idea what's going on.
We know the show is bad. We understand we're not good broadcasters, Jake.
Listen,
for God's sake.
I know what the movie's about and what happens, and I've seen the trailer, and I was still confused.
Okay, all right. All right, you were confused. Right. Straighten us out.
You're good and we're bad. Got it.
All right, your character.
Don't ever do that again, which means you probably will.
We will, Nick. I'll play it again right now if you keep it up.
So these night crawlers are a real thing. Your character plays a guy who goes out and basically he's working overnight to shoot footage that he wants to sell to the morning news. And that's a real job? That's something that people really do, Jake?
Yeah, particularly around Southern California. I mean, you know, there's the local news is a big thing. I mean, I grew up in L.A., so I was used to that, you know, just waking up in the morning, having local news on and seeing this different types of footage. These guys work because they're non-union. They work at night. You know, all the guys who are union cameramen go to sleep, and then these guys pick up, and they sell in the morning, you know, to the morning local news so we can watch these things. And it ultimately becomes about the sort of more disturbing the footage or sort of more horrendous the footage is, the stuff that sells the most. It's kind of like slowing down in an accident scene or something like that. So,
and there's been a lot of controversy. I mean, you bring up the journalistic ethics, and that's a big part of what goes on, the discussions between the various people who work in the newsroom at the station your character is selling to. But a lot of people just have a policy where they will not pay for stories. But some people, man, if they want to really go for it, I mean, some of this footage is worth a lot of money. Like you have, you know, your character selling stuff for $15,000 sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that doesn't give anybody any ideas. But they sell for a lot of money. It depends on, I guess, right, like you're saying, the morals of the people selling it. But I also think it's more about the fact that we as an audience demand it, you know, and that's what's interesting about the movie. Like when you guys put on a trailer that nobody wants to hear on your station.
All right, you got it.
I'm starting on TV news business. I film breaking stories. Repeat the police. Excuse me. I have something you'll be very excited about.
I want you to contact me when you have something.
Something like this.
Think of our newscast as a screaming woman running down the street with her throat cut.
You will be seeing me again.
You gotta call the cops.
And we will, at the right time.
Start filming.
I'm Detective Fonieri.
I think you withheld information.
That would be a very unprofessional thing for me to do.
It would be murder.
I want something people can't turn away from.
911, what's your emergency?
You asked for that, Jake.
By the way, that was just a ploy for you to play my trailer again.
I warned you.
I'm glad that worked.
All right.
Dan, I have no idea what happens at the end. Is this somebody taking a shower? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I can't tell.
There's a gunshot, and then someone's taking a shower.
Jake, I'll play it again.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this, because we're almost out of time, because you're a very busy and powerful man. does your character not blink in the movie, or almost not blink ever in this film?
I've been told that. I wasn't aware of it. You know, I mean, we were filming all night, you know, and I wasn't eating a lot of food or doing the movie. I dropped some weight for it. And the lines are very focused. You know, he has these long soliloquies of, you know, kind of self-help corporate speak that I think are really just brilliantly written. You know, that's the best thing about the movie, is just this dialogue in the movie that just feels classic to me. And I just, in focusing on the lines and focusing on the speeches, I guess I just didn't blink, but I wasn't really aware of that. But people,
that's
have
interesting.
Told me that, yeah.
When you
yeah.
talk about some of that dialogue that you have and the worldview that your character has, I mean, and this is a comparison I think that is fair and favorable, is it's reminding me so much of Christian Bale in American Psycho, just a guy who's got his own thing going on, and it's not fitting in with the rest of the world, but that's how he does it.
Well, I'll take that comparison. That's a pretty good one. But yeah, it is. It is that. And I think that's it's funnier, you know? I think he's fun to watch because it's funny in the end, you know? In a lot of the speeches, I find myself kind of laughing. Even though he is amoral, it's kind of watching like one of those classic characters we love. I think he's a gangster, you know?
It's a terrific movie. I would never have considered you gangster, but okay.
But I have to say, I feel like this interview is coming to a close.
It is.
I have to say, like I always do, that I've listened to you guys for a very long time, and I really...
And now you regret it, right, Jake?
What did you say?
And now you regret it, right?
And now I will never, ever listen to you or come back on your show. I really, honestly, it's an honor being on your show always, because I grew up with you guys, and you're the best, all of you.
You're so very kind, Jake. We always love having you on, and the film is called Nightcrawler, and it opens up everywhere on Halloween. Thanks for the time, sir. Good luck to you.
Thank you for yours. All right, bye, you guys.
Lisa said after we talked to Jake Gyllenhaal that I had probably never used the word Gyllenhaal. I never said it wrong.
I've never
heard
you say
that. Where did that even come from?
I don't know.
That's the only time I said it was with him on the phone.
Of course.
So it's a good thing he had a good sense of humor.
It's not our finest moment, but however, we are going to forget about that. It's in the past right now, and we're going to welcome Anthony Ganderson to the studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong for the first time ever? Anthony Anderson is here.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
You're going with
Ganderson?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
We're doing great. We've been wanting to have you on for a long time. When we first started hearing about Black-ish, we said, that sounds like a fascinating show. We have to get Mr. Anderson in here, and I know how busy you've been, but you finally made some time today, so welcome.
Well, I didn't have anything else to do today.
I'm sure.
Well, at least you'll be on.
Yeah.
I bet. I mean, I was wondering about this as I've been catching up on the show the last few days. I was wondering what it's like for you, a guy who's who's an actor and now is being forcibly dragged into conversations about serious topics every time you do an interview about a TV show. Has it been a burden for you, or have you kind of enjoyed that process? The fact that you've got a show on the air that's actually about something.
Are you going to let me answer the question?
Yes, I am. It's all yours.
Well, you gave my answer. So, no, it's not a burden at all. I enjoy it. I enjoy, you know, setting the record straight and just giving insight into what it is that we're doing to those who are stubborn and ignorant. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I shouldn't turn anybody
up. No, that didn't come on really strong.
No, I did not. No, to those who, you know, who may have been put off by the title. And you know, we hear people say, I will never watch your show just because of the title alone. I was
wait. People really say that?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
What?
And then they see the show, and then they're like, I'm so sorry. It's a great show. I'm sorry, but why did you name it that?
What is their problem with the name Black-ish?
I have no idea. You have to ask Donald Trump that. I don't know, man.
Was he one of the ones who spoke out about it? Because we should take whatever he says very seriously.
Well, Donald Trump said it's racist for us to have a show entitled Black-ish.
I love that Donald Trump is saying anything about your TV show.
I love that Donald Trump is watching black television.
That is an insane argument, by the way.
It is. I have no idea where that argument comes from. You know, you get a lot of people say, well, how would you feel if I had a show called Whitish? I was like, it's called television.
Yeah.
It's called The Middle. It's called, you know, Modern Family. It's called everything on television but my show.
Right. For folks who haven't tuned in yet, it's not just a show called Blackish that stars a mostly African-American cast. It's actually a show that addresses race
mostly,
in America.
Mostly. Who's white on my show?
Well, your boss, some of your co-workers, your son.
Could you just tell them I had a butler? I do not have a butler.
Your son's field hockey teammates are white?
No, they're not.
Down the street.
They're beige.
They're beige.
Right. Just the color and the contrast on your television.
But the writing, I mean, when you're addressing race issues, you're already getting into an area that many people are uncomfortable even thinking about or discussing. So, I mean, that's a real challenge for your show to kind of walk that line.
It is. I mean, but, you know, what we're dealing with is the things that people really don't want to deal with in reality. You know, we say what a lot of people were just thinking, and it's from an African-American perspective. And but not only is it about race, it's, you know, it's about family, it's about gender, it's about love, it's about religion. It's about everything that every family goes through. It's just told from my perspective.
And I like the fact that your kids and your wife don't see things the way you do, and that's frustrating to you a lot.
Oh, no, that's what makes a great show. That's what makes great conflict. I mean, you know, I'm living in a household where we have three generations. You know, Lawrence Fishburne's character as Pops, you know, Rainbow's character as my wife, and mine, and our children. But not only that, we also have four different perspectives. Those same people, and then also the perspective of Tracy Ellis's Ross character from being a biracial woman. You know, And, you know, for those who are listening right now who haven't seen our show, you know, this show is basically autobiographical. You know, Rainbow is my producing partner and the creator of our show, Kenya Barris. That's his wife. She is a doctor. She is a biracial woman. They have five children, all in private school. It's a marriage between, you know, my wife and my children and my partner, Kenya's wife and his children, being the only African Americans living in our neighborhood, you know, the flies in buttermilk for the most part, wherever we go and what we do. My son, not only was he the only chocolate drop in his class, he was the only chocolate drop in his grade for 3 years.
Right.
So, wow. You know, those are the issues that we are actually dealing with in our day to day life. And so we're just bringing it to the small screen.
Do you think that most white people don't have any idea, they can't imagine what it's like to be a black person in America?
Bean, I'll let you answer that question yourself. Look in the mirror and tell me, how does it feel to be a black man in America as you stare at your reflection?
He's been able to deal with it. I got to be honest.
like, for instance, let me make it a narrower focus question. Like, mm-hmm. I look at you and I go, well, there's Anthony Anderson. He's a very successful and popular actor.
Right.
There may be times where you feel that, but I bet there are also times where you feel like you're a black actor who is, you know, trying to get yours, trying to fight the system a little bit.
You know, I honestly felt like that in the past. I think I've been able to, you know, jump those hurdles in my career and just be seen as an actor.
Oh, because black people are athletic. That's why. Is that what you mean?
You know, you asked me that question. It's hard for me to describe the feeling of having good credit. I don't know what that is. So that's what I liken it to.
But I like Lawrence Fishburne because...
Lawrence Fishburne?
I did say that, didn't I?
You can't say names
what
today.
What television shows do you watch when we're not around?
I like Lawrence for... I'm going to just go first name. For two reasons. One, because his head is bigger than mine. And it's really pretty much the only one.
Uh-huh.
And two, because he's sort of the worst one on the show. He sort of encourages you along the wrong lines, I feel like.
Well, I'm not going to say along the wrong lines. Along the lines that he's accustomed to, you know.
Right.
Pops is an old school father, you know, who grew up, you know, in the 50s and 60s, and you know, in the time of, you know, black power. You know, now we're in a time of powerful blacks, you know, but, you know, he's stuck in his world, and it's up to us to learn and to teach each generation. And that's what we do in our house. You know, we learn from our kids as our kids teach us something. You know, that's what's going on. We all have our perspectives.
Yeah.
Good, right, or good, bad, or indifferent.
And I do love that about your show where you talked about how the multiple generations living under one roof, because it is a very different experience for the kids the age they are on this show, which is what, about 10, something like that? I mean, to them, they don't think about Barack Obama being the first black president. He's just a president who is black.
You know,
they don't have the history.
No, they don't have the history, but, you know, a great line from the show is like, he's the only president I've known. You know? You know, exactly. My kids are that age. It's like, why do you keep harping on the fact that he's black? Daddy, he's the only president I know.
That's right.
And it gives me pause. And I was like, oh, damn it. Oh, yeah, I guess they're right, you know?
When you put it that way, when you're born in the 2000s, I guess things look a little bit different for you.
Exactly.
All right, Anthony Anderson is here. We have to take a quick break. He is the executive producer and star of a show called Black-ish that airs Wednesday nights at 9:30 on ABC. Hey, it's Wednesday today. You should check that show out tonight. More with Anthony after this on K-Rock.
40 minutes after the hour.
Wannabe DJ and actor Anthony Anderson is with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the TV show Black-ish, which airs Wednesday nights at 9:30 on ABC. By the way, these stories you're telling us during the songs here, Anthony, you are not Black-ish. You are black, my friend. You have had the legitimate black experience.
Well, that therein lies the character Andre Johnson, you know, on our show. You know, a line that he says in the pilot is like, I went from raising a black family to a black-ish family. You know, I look at the lifestyle that my children live versus the lifestyle that I've lived. You know, my 12-year-old son in real life came home. He's 14 now. He came home one day and said, Dad, I said, what's up, son? He said, I don't feel black. I was like, what the hell you mean you don't feel black? What? Look in the mirror. Look at your mama. Look at me. Look at TT. TT is my mom. I was like, look at TT and how she live and where she live. You're black, son. And so, but I got where he was coming from because his experience as a 12-year-old is different. Living in suburbia and living a life of privilege is different than the life that I lived as a 12-year-old growing up in Compton. You know, I had to dodge drive-bys, school gang fights. Not just a fight, but a whole school would come to our school, you know, just because, you know, we wore a different color than them. And, you know, my son doesn't have that reality. He's matching the color of his shoes to his book bag. You know, that's the big choice that he has to make. And so we sat there and had a conversation, and he got where I was coming from. But it blew my mind that I was having this conversation with my 12-year-old son day and age.
Let me ask you this question, Anthony. Sorry if I interrupted there. Interview about a month ago, and don't ever forget it, man. There was an interview about 3 weeks ago maybe with Oprah that one of the Cosby kids did, one of the TV actors. It might have been Keisha Knight Pulliam, I think is her name. Which one is gay? Which one is the gay one?
No, Simone.
Raven Simone. So Raven Simone is on with Oprah, and she said, and I want to get your opinion on this because I don't know if we're nearing a turning point. Is there ever going to be such thing as a post-racial America? But she said, I don't want to be – I'm not an African American. I've never been to Africa. I don't know anybody in Africa. I don't know my family.
Shame on her.
She says, I'm an American. I just want to be an American. I don't want to be an African American anymore, and I'm offended by that. Essentially, that's not her exact word. But is there going to come a time where it's just Americans, not African Americans and white Americans?
Unfortunately, I don't believe so. It would be great if we could live in a utopian society like that. I mean, but you're going to have people that are stuck in a certain ideology in the way that they view the world and themselves and others. You know, it would be great if we could just live in a post-racial world and just be people. But I doubt that will ever happen in our lifetime.
It seems like each generation, though, does change a little. Like our parents, everybody goes, okay, they're old, and that's what they grew up with.
Right,
and, you know, your worldview is a little bit different, but you grew up in Compton, so it was a rough neighborhood. And then your kids, like you say, they come home from a school and they don't feel the same way.
Right. Well, you know, unfortunately, or I shouldn't even say that. Like a lot of things, racism is a learned behavior. You know, it's something that's taught in the household. You know, just because of a difference in generation and a difference of education and a difference of a willingness to get to learn about somebody else or another culture. You know. If you take 10 babies, all from 10 different ethnic backgrounds, and put them together in a park in a playpen, they're just going to play with one another because that's all they know. They just know that this is another baby. This is just like me, whether it's black, brown, yellow, white, or whatever. We're just going to have fun. It's when those babies are now separated and they go to their individual homes that it's told to them and taught to them that, no, you shouldn't play with this little brown boy. You shouldn't play with this, you know, this yellow person or this red person or this white person.
So all babies should be swapped at birth with somebody else's parents, I think.
Well, is that what you think he's saying?
I don't know about all that.
I think that's the solution here.
Man.
You're not allowed to
imagine
raise a
waking
child.
Up in my house as a little white baby.
Exactly. Barriers would fall. Anthony, come on. We're almost out of time here. Talking about blackness.
I'm not
today.
Leaving.
I don't blame you. The show reminds me, and I don't know, people always have, they feel like they, especially if you haven't seen a show, people go, hey, what's it like? They want to compare it to something. It really does remind me of your old friend Bernie Mac show in terms of it's fun and there's a lot of love in it, but it also is dealing with some real important issues. Is that a fair comparison?
That's a fair comparison. That's a fair comparison. We've been compared to Bernie. We've been compared to Cosby. You know, we like to create our own identity. You know, Bernie Mac. The Bernie Mac show was a great show and still is a great show if you still watch it now. And, you know, you look at Cosby and they've just celebrated 30, it went up there 30 years ago.
Wow.
And you just look at, you know, how we're still able to look back on these classic television shows and be entertained and enjoy it. Hopefully 30 years from now, you know, people are doing the same with Black-ish. You know, that's all we can hope for.
I hope so, too. Let me play a clip of the show before we go. And this is, I think,
why?
A good...
Why? People can't see it.
Exactly, right? We will not give up on playing clips on the radio, Anthony. It's our thing.
Okay, do it.
So this is your character, Dre, and you're having a conversation slash argument with your wife, Rainbow, who's played by Tracy Ellis Ross, who, by the way, has the most beautiful eyes on all of television. And
you're missing the boat if all you're doing is noticing her eyes.
And this is exactly what we've been talking about. You are addressing your son's playing field hockey, and it seems a little Black-ish to you.
Babe, you don't get it.
No.
This is how it starts.
What?
Babe, Junior wants to play field hockey.
I know. What's wrong with that?
Today it's field hockey. Tomorrow he's running from the police in a white Bronco.
Oh, my God. Are you suggesting that our son is going to grow up and murder his wife?
Hey, you think O.J. did it?
No,
with that attitude.
No.
Maybe the gloves didn't fit.
Focus, Dre. You need to focus.
So there you go. God. That's from Black-ish tonight
the gloves
at 9:30.
Didn't fit. He didn't do it. The gloves didn't fit.
Exactly, Anthony Anderson. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. The Walking Dead, Alien versus Predator, Dusk Till Dawn. Those are just some of the mazes you can find this year at Universal Studios Hollywood. You can go to UniversalStudiosHollywood.com to buy your tickets, or you can win tickets right now for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights if you're caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. That is what we'll do to get us going this week as we get into this edition of the Kevin and Bean Showbiz Beat. I could have said that better.
Speaking of The Walking Dead, the first story is from actress Laurie Holden. I don't know if you saw this, but she played, of course, Andrea for three seasons. Uh-huh. On The Walking Dead, recently got the chance to be a hero in real life. Holden,
oh, you hate it when celebrities save lives, Kevin?
No. I hate it when they get too much credit for saving lives because they were in the area. Okay. But I don't buy this one. She was featured on an ABC News segment last week about Operation Underground Railroad, which is a volunteer-based group. They go into Colombia and rescue children who are already. Who have already been in the sex slave.
Enslaved.
Yeah, they've been enslaved as sex slaves. And she actually was on the front line and went in and talked to some of the girls. She was asking them, like, how old they were. And they said 12, 13, 14. And they extract them from that situation and get them out of it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she does take them out. She doesn't just go and interview them. Okay.
No, she doesn't just go interview them.
Okay, good.
Other people are taking action, but she's kind of keeping them distracted while they try and take care of the people who are enslaving them.
Wow.
And it's all going to be in a documentary titled The Abolitionists, which I think sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of actors who are doing that in their spare time. So that is actually very cool. Speaking of TV, this is almost hard to believe. We're near the end of Rocktober. Damn it. Yeah. And no TV shows had been canceled until yesterday. No new TV show. Well, actually, technically, a new TV show still hasn't been canceled. The one that was canceled yesterday has already been on for two seasons, and I'm very sad to say it's The Bridge.
No!
What? Which we all watch and we all love on the FX channel with Diane Kruger and Damian Bashir. What? This is the one about the El Paso PD and the Mexican authorities.
I love that show.
I love that show, too. It was canceled. And by canceled, I mean they've decided not to bring it back for a third season. So I'm super sad about that. None of the new fall season shows on any of the networks have been canceled yet, though, which is just remarkable.
That's got to be a miracle.
Usually something's canceled after the first episode, but so far everything is still on the air. Some shows have already been renewed. Lisa, you're going to be excited. Jane the Virgin has been picked up for a full season.
That's a great show.
Kevin, you're going to be excited. The Flash, same deal. The CW is going to give that a full season. MTV has ordered 10 more episodes of Faking It. That's the show that only the King of Mexico and I watch.
Right.
So they had a 10-episode season scheduled, and they have ordered an additional 10 episodes. And a second season of the zombie drama, which I'm not familiar with, called Z Nation on the Sci-Fi channel has also been picked up.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
one. That's some good news for some of the shows that are on, but we're still waiting for that first show to drop, and so far that has not happened.
There was one, and I don't remember the name of it, that never made it to air, though.
Yes.
That's right. They had said, this is one of our shows, and then they said, this is not one of our shows.
And that was the one that Kristen Ritter was in. We talked about that last week. Yes. Exactly, yeah.
Celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lloyd is 76 years old. Actor Jeff Goldblum, who is great in everything he does, is 62. Bob Odenkirk is 52. Is that your phone, B?
Yeah, it sure is.
You want me to get it?
You go ahead.
Comedian Carlos Mencia, comedian in quotation marks, is 47 years old. Shaggy is 46. Spike Jones is 45. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who is so good on Modern Family, is 39. And singer Zach Hanson of the band Hanson. She is 29, and that is K-Rock Showbiz.
What an unbelievable baby you are, Dave.
No kidding.
Hey, man.
Seriously.
Hey, listen. I'm a baby. Shut up.
In your defense, you're a baby. Yeah. That's the voice of the King of Mexico here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about scary videos. Dave just won't watch them. If somebody tells him they're scary, he just won't watch them.
And he's in charge of the Internet Roundup, and he puts videos on the Internet Roundup that he hasn't watched.
That he hasn't seen.
Because
exactly.
They're scary.
Hey, Ralph reviews movies without seeing them.
That's
I could put up
bit.
A video.
Nope, that's
yeah, I could
bit.
Put up a video without and I knew everything about that video.
All right, we're going to talk about that video because it's just one of the new ones that you can find at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world. It is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls. We've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos and they're mostly on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you don't care. You could watch these videos all up in your underwear. Internet, internet, come on baby, watch some. And now it's time for the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
The video that Dave won't watch on this week's Internet Roundup is called Tuck Me In, and it's just a little bedtime fairy tale, about 45 seconds worth. It's not bloody or gory. There's no monsters or anything. It's just a little bit unsettling, Dave.
It's
I think
creepy.
You'd be fine if you saw it.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's supposed to be.
Well, yeah,
it's
supposed
Halloween
to be.
It's Halloween time.
Yeah, Halloween sucks. That's what.
Does Halloween suck?
Many reasons.
Oh, you're so bad.
Oh, so bad. All right, moving along, though. What are the circumstances under which a 70-year-old man is in an MMA ring? And it's not an octagon. It's a ring in this case with a guy who looks like he's a 25-year-old boxer in his prime. How did this happen, Dave? Do we know?
We don't know, but I think the guy challenged him. And after watching this video, the guy was obviously an amateur because his footwork was terrible. And the old man just shows him what's up. Like this old man was a real boxer. And I guess, you know, once you know how to punch, you never lose it. And this just shows it.
He steps into the ring with this kid and just obliterates him. I mean, the guy is
beautiful.
Out in like 10 seconds. Listen to this. He will never live that down, that he got his ass beaten down by a 70-year-old man.
Yeah, the old man kind of looks like the Armenian comedian.
For the rest of his life, his friends are going to go, remember that time you got beat by that old guy?
Dude, I wouldn't want to face that dude.
Funny or Die does great videos. It's rare that a week goes by that we don't have one of theirs on the Internet Roundup. And this one stars Chris Pine from Star Trek, and it's called Vampire Lawyer. And what's funny about this is it's about a one-minute video that has like 15 minutes of credits and outtakes and DVD extras. And it's just one of the most bizarre things you've ever seen. But it may be too scary for Dave because it is close to Halloween.
I know what you're trying to get me to say, Vampire Lawyer, but I'm not going to bite.
You can't handle the truth.
No further questions.
Yeah, that clip does no justice whatsoever.
He turns into a bat, and then they just show like all the behind-the-scenes stuff in the next 10 minutes. It's very funny.
It's bizarre. Kevin, this is your favorite. I don't know what the circumstances were of this weatherman
either.
Who had a giant dog on the set with him. I think they had a program. This is a Canadian newscaster, and I think it's one of those newscasts that brings a pet on once a week to get adopted. So they're teaming up with the Humane Society, and this guy is trying to do the weather while he holds the leash on a dog who looks like he weighs 100 pounds.
Yeah, it's a big dog.
And this dog is doing nothing but giving him trouble.
Current temperatures, we've got Jasper at the -2 degree mark. -3. No. -3 in Grand Prairie. No. You're going to be able to hold him better. Okay. Okay. You're on your own. All right. You're on your own. Here, you want to play with... We've got 17 on Sunday.
This dog chews through the leash that the weatherman is holding and then starts jumping up and almost knocks the guy down. It's pretty great.
He's about as tall as the weatherman.
Why would you have a mastiff?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy how
ridiculous.
Big that dog is. Yeah.
Speaking of weather, this is a trick that was played on a Fox 17 meteorologist. She is deathly afraid of spiders. And this is a station in Michigan, and where they're supposed to put up, like, the maps behind her on the TV set, she's standing there getting ready to do the weather, and instead they put up these close-up videos of tarantulas, and she freaks the F out.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! God, turn it off. Oh, I hate spiders.
I love that.
I love it, too. And by the way, they're not really spiders. They're just a video of spiders. I mean, she couldn't get hurt by them, but she still would not go anywhere near the screen. Honest Trailers are back. This time they're doing a movie. Now, I didn't see this one, Kevin, but X-Men Days of Future Past was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I think all the X-Men movies were good, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Honest Trailers figured out a way to make it sound dumb.
Journey to a time when humanity and mutants alike are trapped in a Tron Legacy prison, where only the plot of Terminator 2 can save them, as an indestructible badass gets sent back in time, without his clothes, to protect a vulnerable young man with long hair, who will one day become a leader and stop a shapeshifter from destroying the future.
Well, when you put it that way, it does sound kind of dumb. We're going through this week's videos at the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup at KRock.com or KevinBean.com. Bad Lip Reading is back. This is their second round from Season 4 of The Walking Dead, and I don't know how they put these things together. But they look, I mean, it looks like they're saying exactly what you're hearing,
the
and
video,
you know they're not.
The video is actual video from the show.
Yeah.
Right.
And it looks like they're saying these words.
Dude, just stick around and I'll get you drunk.
I had a Diet Coke.
Hey, there ain't a man alive who doesn't want to get his butt washed in the Jedi fountain.
Not now, princess.
No, dude, listen. A vagrant child came to me when I smashed my knuckle. Guess what he asked me?
What size is your doggy bone?
Very good job.
And it makes me wonder, how do people read lips in real life?
Yeah, because it really does look like they're saying those words.
Exactly, yeah. This Peyton Manning tribute video, Dave, is this an official NFL video?
It is, actually, yeah.
It's incredible,
from NFL Films,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. And they talk about not just Peyton, who has had an unbelievable career on the field, but they make fun of him a lot for stuff off the field, too. And it's a very catchy song.
Peyton Manning!
They make fun of his pizza commercials and his red forehead.
That's my favorite, yeah.
The way he's yelling at people.
Omaha.
Omaha, yeah. It's a great video. If you're jonesing for some football here midweek, you should check out that video. And we got a couple more from Jimmy Kimmel. He did a great prank where he actually went out and got his Uber license and then went, and when somebody called for an Uber vehicle, Jimmy Kimmel was behind the wheel.
Jimmy.
Eric.
How are you, Eric?
Good.
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
No way.
I'm your driver today.
Really?
Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Is that for real?
This is for real.
That is so funny because I always see it on TV, but...
This will be the weirdest Uber ride you've ever had.
Yes.
He had no idea how weird it was going to be because Jimmy took him souvenir shopping in Hollywood for the day.
For too, everybody so. That the guy's ever met.
Yep, very funny. And finally, on this week's edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, a great feature that they do on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show late nights on ABC is with Snoop Dogg. He has a show called Planet Earth where Snoop basically is just narrating, doing play-by-play of animal videos. And this one, you talk about a freaky video, Dave. Snakes versus bats.
Little snake too, right?
Yeah. Let's find out from Snoop Dogg who wins that battle.
Bats, snakes, reptiles. Oh, this trying to eat a bat? He'll use his highly sensible radar, Blu-ray vision to see with heat. I don't know how he does, but this sees heat. Yeah.
I'm not sure that a bat has Blu-ray vision, but I think you know what he's trying to say. Anyway, you can see all these videos, including the ones that Dave is too scared to watch at kevinabean.com or krock.com. It's a brand new internet roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the internet roundup. Yeah!
Some excellent air drumming.
Seriously, I was very impressed by that. That's not even your song
going on right there.
The guys from Milky Chance are here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, and they were just singing along and air drumming on that song like it was one of theirs. Welcome to K-Rock, you guys. How are
you? Hello. Good morning. We're good.
You were just telling us, as the song ended, that this is your first time in America ever. When did you arrive?
Last Friday? No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm here for more than a month because I came here in 1st of September to
West
Coast.
To explore the West Coast.
Yeah, just to
relax. It was just vacation?
It was vacation, yeah.
Huh. And then you stayed?
And then I stayed.
Did you ask for political asylum?
Yeah.
What do you guys – I'm always fascinated to hear from people who are seeing America for the first time because – no matter where you grow up in the world, like in your case, Germany, you see a lot of America on television and in the movies. And that's what most people think it's like. So when you get here, was there anything you were surprised by once you actually made it to the States?
Well, not really surprised. I mean, everything is much bigger for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go outside on the streets, like, it seems to be bigger. Like, the streets and the sidewalks and everything. But it's cool.
But it's like on TV.
Crazy
like
and lovely.
Okay.
Do you come from a small town?
Yes.
Yeah.
We come from a small town in the green. So.
How many people live there?
200,000.
200,000.
It's not
okay.
That big.
I understand you went to In-N-Out Burger since you've been in Southern California. What did you think of that?
Well, we kind of make a list.
Yeah.
Things you have to do.
Yeah.
In-N-Out is good, but it's not the first.
No, it's not the first. Five Guys is better.
Oh, Five Guys.
Oh, Five Guys.
Five Guys is pretty good.
Look, Five Guys is good. Let's not go better.
It's good.
All right.
Look, we might have to throw down here.
Good.
I don't know.
But the best one we got at the hotel, what was the name?
Great.
It's
Gravies?
Like a burger shop in a train. In an old train.
Carney's.
That's cool.
Carney's.
That was the best burger.
It's
hard
cool.
to believe that Beer Mug really? Had the name of a restaurant at his fingers. Well done. It sounds like you've been eating pretty well. Now, will you go to Disneyland while you're here?
No, I didn't think so.
No.
I mean, if we would have the time, I don't think that we would have gone to the Disneyland.
Okay. But you are playing on the Jimmy Kimmel Live TV show tonight, so at least you're doing something fun in town.
That's really cool.
That'll be good. Well, let's talk a little bit about Milky Chance. You guys have been working together, playing music together for what, about 5 years or so maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, making music together for 5 years. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you're only 21 now. That's what's amazing to me. I mean, there's no way you expected to have a big international hit song and album at this stage in your career, right?
No. Yeah. No. We never expected anything.
How did you get your music heard by people at the beginning? Were you one of those bands who put it up on YouTube and it just caught fire that way?
Classic YouTube band.
Yeah, I looked yesterday and it has like almost 80 million views.
Right.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
It's just crazy.
That's awesome.
That's like $20 for you guys.
Jackpot.
I mean, yeah. you certainly did get into the music industry at the worst possible time in all of history. If the plan is to make a lot of money, but I assume that's not why you do it.
No, that's not our plan.
It's not about the money.
I mean, yeah.
You guys met at an advanced music course, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just said who's not a dork. And you kind of found each other.
Yeah, it was like first day in school, and you're checking out your neighbors and your schoolmates. And then we were three guys hanging around together.
This guy could be cool.
Then you killed the other one.
Yeah.
No. Well, you'd rather only split $20 two ways instead of three, Kevin. If you have a choice. Do you remember the first time you played outside of the school environment? The first time you played music for the public.
Well.
Yeah, it must be somewhere, someday.
It was.
You don't remember?
We started like pretty early to play also on the street. Like we made street music a lot. So yeah. Just
oh, interesting. Did you do a lot of covers when you started? Yeah. Because you didn't have
a lot of.
At
the beginning, yeah.
At the beginning, just like we started with Ray Charles and Sting.
Ray Charles.
Yeah. Sting. We played a lot of old shit.
We were into jazz to that time a lot. Yeah.
So. And the other day on a radio interview, you did a Miley Cyrus cover too. So you can sing lots of different kinds of music.
Yeah, we did a reggae ball version. The reggae ball.
Who are your favorite musical artists? Who are the ones that you personally love the most?
We don't have like favorite. We cannot put someone on the top.
Yeah, but there are a lot of artists that I really appreciate and love listening to.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Music is, I don't know, it's hard in music too.
It's because we just love to listen to music in general, and we had a very good education in music. We were singing in a choir. We went to music class, so we had all this theoretical stuff and music history, classic music. Everything.
Fancy.
So, did you wear your hair like that then in the choir?
Yeah.
Always worn your hair like that?
Yeah. There's some videos existing on YouTube.
They
just found them
in a choir with that hair.
Yeah.
It's like nobody could stand on either side of them because there needs to be space.
Yeah. I was always in the last lane.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, you've long respected the white afro.
I have. But this is a spiky afro. I love it.
Yeah, it's impressive. All right. So you played the Troubadour on Monday night. How did you find that audience? Were they nice to you?
Yes.
They were pretty nice. Crazy, freaking out.
Pretty okay, cool. Great. Tomorrow night you're going to be in San Francisco. And then this weekend you're going to be in Las Vegas, I assume, for the first time ever?
First time ever.
Yes.
And that will kill you.
How long are you going to stay there?
All right.
Sometime.
There's only one day. We will arrive in the morning and fly back in the
that's
evening.
Bad planning. That's somebody trying to protect you. You need to stay another day.
Yeah.
Just maybe another day.
Next year.
Just another day.
We'll come back next year.
All right.
Okay. I think that's great. All right. The song you've been hearing on K-Rock is called Stolen Chance. The album
or
is
Dance.
Dance, right.
Stolen Chance.
The album is Milky Chance, Stolen Dance. I'm sorry, right. By her. And the album is Sad Necessary, right?
Sad
Necessary. Record.
Yes.
That's available everywhere for download. And the guys are going to perform live for us, if you can believe it. They're going to move one studio over, and we're going to hear what they sound like at 8:30 in the morning, which we apologize in advance for making you do this so early, you guys.
It's different.
We're happy to have you. We'll do that now.
Kevin, you there?
Go for it, Bean. His mic's not working.
His mic's not working. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. We have the band Milky Chance with us in the studio next door. They're going to be performing live a couple of songs. Of course, the album's out now called Sad Necessary. Do we know what song we're going to be hearing first?
Stone Dance.
Well, good choice. Please enjoy. Thank you.
By my side, so that I never feel alone again. They've always been so kind, but now they've got you away from me. I hope they didn't get your mind. You're always too soon anyway. We need to fast back the time. They stolen from us. And I want you. We can bring it down the floor. You never danced like this before. We don't.
talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night long, stoned in paradise. Shouldn't talk about it, I want you. We can bring it down the floor. You never danced like this before. We don't talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night long, stoned in paradise. Shouldn't talk about it, shouldn't talk about it. Dreamt up for me, no sunshine anymore. The only thing I feel is pain, just by absence of you. Suspense controlling my mind, I cannot find the way out of here, and I want you by my side, so that I never feel alone again. And I want you, we can bring it on the floor. You never danced like this before. We don't talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night long, stoned in paradise. Shouldn't talk about it, I want you, we can bring it on the floor. You like this before, we don't talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night long, stoned in paradise. Shouldn't talk about it, yeah. Shouldn't talk about it, yeah, yeah,
come on, how about that?
That sounded great. Fantastic. Sounded really good, you guys. Wow.
Hey, we're not going to let them go without asking about the name, are we?
Oh, we've been making fun of this name since we first started playing your song. And I bet you wish now you'd picked a different name, right, guys?
The name of your band, Milky Chance, where did that come from?
Well, from nowhere. I don't know.
From nowhere? Okay.
No, I just created that name when I was younger for fun. When we started out,
were you thinking of band names that you might...
Yeah, well, yeah. But I was young on that day, so that is why it sounds that weird.
All right. I'm good with that. I'm happy with that. You guys going to do another one here?
Yeah, of course.
All right. What do you got?
Best Drunk Mike.
Fantastic. Milky Chance.
We were young souls on the young, yeah. No, we are stern minds, filled with jackets, but no fear will be just like mine. And our fear will be all the time. And we were gone to the city light. Fresh lights and falling into the night. Focused on what you feel. Just send you cure in the love that day. And we were bound to the city light. Fresh lights and falling into the night. Focused on what you feel. Just send you cure in the love that day. On the jump, yeah. No, we are still my age, filled with jungles, but no fear, oh baby, just like mine. No fear.
in the fold and into the night. Focused on what you fear. She sent you a code and a love that died. And we were bound to the city life. Flashlights and a fold and into the night. Focused on what you fear. And you were chilling the love that died.
Milky Chance, live on K-Rock.
Good stuff. Good stuff right there, everybody.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Clemens, so much. Thank you, Philip. Have fun in San Francisco. Have fun in Las Vegas. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time in America. We'll see you again next time, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
You guys are top-notch. You guys are pros.
We're on our game right now. Oh. I feel like we're in our
zone. I feel bad for Milky.
We're in our zone. What about Chance?
Yeah, him too.
That's the voice of this man,
DJ Omar Khan.
Who, by the way, we don't mention this enough, DJ Omar Khan, but yeah. You are still playing ones and twos. You're still doing it, right?
I am. I have a mobile DJ business, and I DJ the clubs. If you guys want to book me for weddings, birthday parties, bat mitzvahs, baby showers, I don't care. You can log on to DJOmarKhan.com or just email me directly at omar@kroq.com and I'll hook you up.
You should go through that faster so people can't remember it.
Sorry.
And Omar does a great job. You will not be disappointed if you hire him as a DJ, so we recommend that.
Although he won't play certain songs because he doesn't like them.
I don't play like the YMCA, Macarena. I don't do any of that nonsense.
How can you not play? Well, we don't have time to get into that right now. All right. Omar is here. It's his turn to fill in for Ralph Garman of the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Troubles for Blake Griffin from the Los Angeles Clippers. He's being accused of hitting a dude in the face. I guess over the weekend, he was in a nightclub in Vegas, Tao, at the Venetian, and some guy was trying to take a cell phone picture in the crowd, and the flash seemed to bother Blake Griffin.
Okay.
So he took it upon himself to try to grab the phone away from this guy. This guy wouldn't let it go because his cash and credit cards were attached to the phone.
Right.
And Blake goes and grabs his neck, and squeezes tight, and says, "Let go of the phone or else." That's what this guy is saying, okay? So he lets the phone go, and he was like, "Hey, dude, you know, can I have it back?" You know, politely or whatever, after being strangled. And Blake then proceeds to wring his neck again.
What?
Yeah. So everything's being under investigation right now. But
that's the guy with the phone's version of the story?
Right,
which
exactly.
may or may not be true.
Okay. Yeah, so we don't know. And when security came to Blake Griffin wanted that guy thrown out of the club. So there's that. So,
all right. I have no idea what happened in this situation. This is the first time hearing about it. But in general, when a story like this comes out, do you generally believe the celebrity or believe the accuser?
I think neither.
Yeah, really? We got to wait for more details.
I think there's a truth that both of them are not going to get at, and eventually we'll find out. It was a little bit Blake. It was a little bit him.
Probably, yeah. And then, you know, you always with the celebrities, you always have to worry about, okay, is this guy just out for money? You know,
exactly.
Or whatever. And Blake seems like a nice guy.
And
but
has he been in this kind of trouble before?
Right.
In that case, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Troubles for Blake Griffin. Tyrese.
Is Dave okay? Has anyone checked in on Dave?
We have not, no.
Okay.
Hope he's dead. Tyrese is in the news. You know, he was a star of Baby Boy, directed by John Singleton. And there's some comedian. Sure. Come on, Baby Boy. You know Baby Boy.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, I never saw it either. Okay. But he's in the news because there's this comedian, Spanky. Spanky Hayes. You know Spanky?
Spanky's
Spanky.
Good.
Spanky.
Spanky.
Okay. He's going around saying that Baby Boy was supposed to be his role, but since Tyrese promised a sexual favor to John Singleton, that's how he got the role.
why would he come out with this story now 20 years after that movie?
I have no idea.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. And Tyrese responded with the video, and the video is him saying, okay, why did you choose to end your career this way? You're making up stories. And Tyrese comes off a little bit like a D-bag, but he's saying, I'm a very important guy in Hollywood who I'm respected or whatever.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. But it's him in his balcony in his Hollywood mansion, I'm sure, you know. I mean, he's got outdoor theater, basketball courts. I mean, the place is huge, and he's in a fur coat smoking a cigar. Yeah. So it's a little bit douchey, but then again, it's a little bit funny.
All right.
And then, you know, he goes on and on how you ended your career. Here's a little clip from the end of the video.
I'm a hang out in my outdoor theater because I don't know. I don't know who you are. So let me go ahead and look at your sizzle reel and all of the stuff that you've been able to accomplish in your career.
It don't exist, bitch! Ha, ha, ha!
I get points for delivery.
What is happening?
I don't know.
This is also weird because this story would barely be a blip on anybody's radar. Nobody cares about this guy, Tyrese, or that movie. Yet the fact that he made this video is now going to make it, everybody's going to talk about it.
It's Spanky Hayes.
It is Spanky Hayes.
Let's not forget.
And funniest man in Spanky.
The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 is a thing, right?
I can't wait.
I guess it's really huge. The soundtrack has, or the track listing for the soundtrack has arrived. And some of the clips actually leaked, so I have a couple of clips for you guys
right,
that
cool.
We could preview some of the artists that are going to be featured on.
Now, this is the soundtrack that has been put together by Lorde herself when we had her on to discuss this a couple of weeks ago. And it's just crazy. A major franchise like this with a major soundtrack, you go to a 17-year-old and say, hey, put whatever you want on it.
Absolutely. Let's see. Track number one is going to be Stromae featuring Lorde, Pusha T, Q-Tip, and Haim. That song's going to be called Meltdown. And the clip I have here is of Churches, and this song is called Dead Air.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
That's not.
I'm the best.
That's not. That's not the song, I don't
it's
think.
Very different for Churches, I
don't think.
Think
that's it.
I don't know. You know, we all love Tuvalu. She has a song on the soundtrack called Scream My Name.
Tuvalu, you mean?
Tuvalu.
Yeah.
That's not.
Come on, oh.
I like it.
Soundtrack's going in a different direction.
I love it. I didn't know she could get that low. That's awesome.
That is awesome. I didn't know you could get this low.
Let's see. Charlie XCX featuring Sam Laban has a song on there called Kingdom. Rory has a song called Lost Souls on it. And Kanye West is going to be reworking Lorde's Flicker. And here's a little bit of that.
That is reworking.
That's the best Kanye ever. I love
I think that may be fart metal. I think you may be confused.
And the Chemical Brothers are back.
They are.
They have a track featuring Miguel, and this also has a little sample of Lorde, and this is called This Is Not a Game.
Say, I know what I'm doing. Talk about a revolution.
There it is.
Wait.
There it is.
Wait.
I love that song.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I don't have celebrity birthdays, so
look them up yourselves.
Yep, look them up yourselves. That's a Ralph Chauvin's beat.
Taryn Napolitano from Monrovia just got tickets for the Halloween costume ball that we're having with K-Rock, and you're going to win those every hour between 9 and 5.
I know that we're giving away tickets every day in the 9 o'clock hour and then throughout the day every hour up until 5, and there's $5,000 as a prize for the best costume. But Jared Leto is going to win that for being Jesus, right?
Yeah, there's 30 Seconds to Mars as well, sure.
Exactly. 30 Seconds to Mars is performing. It's next Thursday, October 30th at the Fonda Theater. That is right around the corner because today is the 22nd of Rocktober. Adam, we're so depressed here on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
What's going on?
Well, we make fun of Rocktober because KLOS still does it seriously, so we make fun of it every October. And Beer Mug told us a couple of weeks ago that if we ever say it's Rocktober and he doesn't hit the button, we can fire him on the spot if that guitar sounder isn't there. And so far, he's been flawless. We can't get him to screw up.
And did you have a drop for September?
We didn't yet, no.
No, right. We didn't do September.
All right, and two for Tuesdays coming up, pretty early next week.
Exactly. All of the classics.
Two Eagles songs in a row.
We have Blovember, though. I think you'll like that.
Does a two for Tuesday still exist in a world where everyone has 2,000 songs on their phone?
I think it still does.
Shockingly, yes, it does. I know. Speaking of Adam Carolla, he joins us each week for This Week in Rage, but before we hit the button on that, how about seeing the Ace Man live on stage? He's got two great shows coming up in December at the Grove of Anaheim on December the 11th. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. And then the following night at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. Tickets for that show, just $30, adamcarolla.com. Don't forget, you can buy your Mangria at the site as well and catch your contractor air Sunday nights at 10 on Spike TV. Hit it, Steve!
It's time for This Week
in Rage!
Well, starting at 3 and working my way up to number 1. Here's a policy that I just came up with, I am in love with over all my other travel-related policies.
Wow.
And I know as a bold statement, but you guys will be on board when I'm done with this.
Nobody likes your ideas more than you.
I'm a huge fan of myself. When I met me the other day, it was massive, and I also caught a glimpse of me nude coming out of the shower. It was unbelievable.
You're starting to notice how good looking you are.
I love me some me. How about this policy?
All right.
I flew the one flight last week that goes from L.A. to San Antonio. It is a Southwest flight. It is 100% full because it is the only nonstop flight to San Antonio from Los Angeles. I was sitting in the back of the Southwest flight, and from about the first 15 minutes till about the 15 minutes before we landed, there was a constant line of people standing in the row in the back waiting to do their offloading in the commode.
Yeah.
You can't stand in line in the front of the airplane because the cockpit is there, and they won't let you stand in line there.
Security. So it's
a three-hour flight. But how about this? In a world, in a place, call the airport where there's nothing but announcements about loading zones and smoke and smoke detectors and pre-boarding. And what about a PA announcement that says, we got a 100% full flight, we're going to be loading in about 20 minutes. How about you hit the commode and do your business?
I like it.
On terra firma. Wouldn't you, everyone, rather be sitting on a nice slab with some tile on it rather than bouncing around on their keister 30,000 feet in the air with a line of people around their crap closet? Like, this is a public service to everybody who is getting on this plane and taking a crap and everyone who's not taking a crap. There is a place, it's called a bathroom, there's 13 toilets in it, it's 20 feet from where we're all sitting. Go use it, everyone, now.
Just before the flight. That makes perfect sense. We're down.
Everyone would have done their offloading right before they got on the plane.
I'm with you.
Why
Good
is
idea.
That announcement not given?
100%. I can't imagine.
There was somebody who was standing in line by the cockpit. They had to shoo the lady away, like, you can't stand here. She went and stood in the middle of the plane, and when the person left the bathroom, someone else got up and slid in front of her. Why not the announcement? The bathroom was right behind us where we're all sitting in the terminal.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, and passengers, use your brain and your ass. Would you please? You're getting into the cigar tube for 3 hours. Might as well drop whatever, you know, you put a couple Miller Lights down at the Chili's, go drop some in the toilet bowl. Why do I have to think of everything?
I don't know.
All right, number 2. Who are these people? And you tell me, are you secretly envious of these people? Flight was overbooked. So then the announcement, not the announcement to make the crap, but the announcement that said the flight's overbooked. Would somebody like to just wait and take the flight tomorrow into San Antonio?
Right.
And if you would, we got a voucher to Fuddruckers. The three people that walk up and go, what are we talking, burger, fries, that is a drink included in that voucher? You know. Mom's still going to be on life support in San Antonio when I get there this time tomorrow. I guess I could just get back in an Uber cab and head back to my apartment in Van Nuys.
That is sort of weird.
Maybe I go down to the Cinnabon and take a nap for 22 hours. Like, who are these people that are either so poor or so casual about their schedule? Have you ever been to an airport and went, I guess I could come back in a day?
No, not really.
And it's not like, oh, you're... you're going to get a BJ from a Victoria's Secret model. It's more like, here's a voucher, $100 and some peanuts. Go home. There were no more flights. One flight to San Antonio that entire day. That was it. And there were three people arguing over who got the voucher to Fuddruckers.
Yeah. You spend every day, Adam, just shaking your head at what humans have become, don't you?
There's a part of me that's jealous of that person, though. There's a part of me that thinks, I got to go to San Antonio. I got to sign a bunch of bottles of Mangria. I got to do a show tonight. There's a part of me that wants to go, yeah, I'll head home.
Oh, wait a
minute. Watch a little Price is Right. And maybe I'll come out tomorrow. Maybe I won't.
That's right.
All right. Number one, speaking of Dookie, I realize almost every crap-related, every S-related phrase is incorrect. Like, it started with the S-eating grin I was thinking about the other day. Look at him with his S-eating grin. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone who's eating poo. They don't have a grin. Yeah. They're not happy about it.
Yeah, that's a weird expression.
That one is. And then the other one where the guys, you know that one where you're not supposed to have any affairs with people you work with?
Right.
Where they go, hey, man, you don't eat where you crap.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah, you do, because you go home to your apartment and you have dinner, and then you take, what do we do, go to a neighbor's apartment and take a dump? Or Southwest White? So you do eat where you crap. Then there's the S rolls downhill, and anyone that's ever been camping knows that it collects leaves and acorns and pine nuts and pine needles. It doesn't. It almost virtually impossible.
It doesn't roll.
You have to almost kick it with someone else's shoe. So almost all the S-related stuff needs to be modified. And then the worst that has nothing to do with S that always drives me nuts is when someone says, don't BS a BSer. Why aren't you just lumping yourself in with a group of liars that you're accusing this other person of?
Yeah, basically.
All right. So all the things that involve S, not good and need to be reconfigured.
Rework those.
I don't know why, but you're absolutely right. You're the only one who's figured this stuff out, Adam. You can see Adam on stage at the Grove of Anaheim on Thursday night, December 11th, and the following night at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. And don't forget, Catch a Contractor airs Sunday nights at 10 on Spike TV. Adam, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Ralph Garman will be back tomorrow with the Showbiz Beat. In the meantime, we are filling in for him. It's hard to imagine a world without The Simpsons. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah, yes.
Like, there was a time before The Simpsons were on TV, but I don't really remember what it is. You heard a lot about it in the weeks leading up to Simpsons World, which is now available. So now it is possible online to watch every single episode of The Simpsons ever. I think you can do it in the Simpsons World app as well. And you could write book after book after book of the ways the Simpsons have influenced the world and the tributes to The Simpsons. Here's one just as an example, for instance. This is a restaurant in Philadelphia. I'm sure Ralph knows about it, called the PYT Restaurant. Muggs, you may need to fly to Philadelphia for this.
Give me more.
And stay there? Move there?
How dare you?
What?
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
They have a new creation. It appears to be a jelly donut. It looks like a jelly donut. But instead of jelly on the inside, it's filled with a cheeseburger topped off with chocolate-covered bacon bits.
Yummy.
Donut on the outside, cheeseburger in the middle, topped off with chocolate-covered bacon bits. It's a tribute to Homer Simpson that they are now selling at their restaurant.
Two things. One, I'm relatively sure I would throw up.
Yes, right?
Two, does that not sound good to you?
No.
Donut and a cheeseburger? It sounds terrible.
And chocolate-covered bacon bits? Homer Simpson would love that. Kevin, you have the appetite of a Homer Simpson. You have the same kind of taste palate that he does.
That was one. Two is I'd try it. Yeah, you sort of have to, don't you?
How about you, Muggs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're in. They also have a buffalo chicken donut. This is not Simpsons related, but this is a donut filled with buffalo chicken and topped with blue cheese crumbles.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with donuts?
Donuts are so good all by themselves.
Blue cheese.
Philadelphia, as you know, is one of the fattest cities in America. I mean, they love to eat in Philadelphia, so I bet both of these items are going to be pretty big hits out there.
The CW has announced that they are renewing The Flash and Jane the Virgin for full seasons.
Great.
The Flash had better numbers than any other show since The Vampire Diaries debuted in 2009 on the CW.
Wow.
So how about that?
That's awesome.
That's being renewed. I'm very happy about that.
Well, it definitely has been much anticipated. We've, you know, a lot of people have wanted a Flash show for a long time, and They introduced them through Arrow, so he kind of already had a built-in fan base, so that makes a lot of sense. As you know, Kevin, and I'm sure you've already pre-ordered on iTunes as I have, the new Taylor Swift album, 1989, comes out on Monday. She has been doing some press, and she did an interview I think you'll find interesting with Esquire magazine this month. You have celeb... She's talking about what... In the interview, she said... And then she... No, I think you're going to like this, actually. She talked about the takedown culture of celebrities. She says, you have celebrities who are pushed to the brink of a public meltdown. The public thinks that every person in the public eye has dirty secrets that they're keeping, or isn't what they seem, or is masking it, or is faking sincerity, or is faking authenticity, or is faking being surprised at award shows when you win a Grammy.
Or they are! Or they are faking! What about that?
Do you think that there is something to everybody is trying to tear down celebrities and find the soft underbelly and poke them and find out whatever's negative or bad that's going on in their lives?
I do think that exists, but I also think that celebrities are able to blame things they should get criticized for on all of those people. Like, the only reason I get criticized is because of haters, and haters are going to hate, as someone once said.
They always say that.
Right. It doesn't mean you don't deserve it, by the way. It doesn't mean you're not faking that surprise at an award show. Please.
For the 100th time.
You watch 5 in a row, you go, that's the exact same thing she did last time. She needs an acting coach.
She also goes on to say, by the way, and I thought this was interesting and actually a little bit sad. She says, I know I've come off as paranoid in previous interviews, but the truth is I fought the idea of having security with me for a long, long time. But now she can't go anywhere without it. She hasn't been able to drive by herself in 6 years, she says.
Why?
And here's the terrifying part. Quote, because just the sheer number of men who have in a file who have showed up at my house, showed up at my mom's house, threatened to either kill me, kidnap me, or marry me. That one was me, by the way. This is the strange and sad part of my life that I try not to think about. I try to be lighthearted about it because I don't ever want to be scared. I don't want to be walking down the street scared. But when I have security, I don't have to be scared. It's kind of sad that you're just a pop singer in the world and people are literally breaking into your parents' house or threatening to kill you because of your music. I mean, yeah, I know her music's not for everyone, but that may be a step too far, right?
You can dislike the music. I hate her music, and I hate her. And yet, if I saw her on the street, I would walk past her.
Right.
Yeah,
that'd be
you wouldn't try to kill or kidnap. Exactly.
That's absurd.
That's kind of a scary thing that you can't, you know, you can't even go out by yourself anymore. But I guess, I mean, that's the world we live in.
You know, she should quit. That's my answer.
How dare you?
We've been talking a lot about Khloe Kardashian. I'm sure she loves the never-ending question of who's her father.
Well, she needs to go on Maury and settle it once and for all.
But the problem is we don't think Kris Jenner knows. That's the problem.
Right.
Because there seems to have been a lot going on. But the latest rumor was Lionel Richie.
I bet Nicole Richie loved that.
And he has now responded.
Yeah.
And he is... Not the father.
Not the father.
Not the father. So I think Maury for all men. They just have to walk through. Maury says not the father or the father, and we get this over with.
Anyone who is about that age that lived in California at the time Khloe was born has got some explaining to do.
You could do hundreds at a time. You just walk through the stage. not.
I think that's a great idea. I love Katy Perry. Who doesn't? And one of the things that I just think is adorable about her is that in many ways she still seems like a regular person. She seems awfully goofy sometimes. And she said that she tweeted about this, that she said her birthday was coming up and all she ever really wanted was to see her name on the marquee at the Shakey's Pizza on Santa Monica Boulevard.
That's where all the greats want it.
We've all driven by there, and you always see, every single time you drive by that Shakey's, you see on the sign out front, they always are wishing some kid a happy birthday who's having a party there that weekend or something like that. She said she's always wanted to have that. That's like been a dream of hers. Well, Shakey's found out about it, heard about it through her tweet, and management not only made it happen, but they said they're going to be posting messages on all of their California Shakey's locations wishing her a happy birthday, and they also want to name a pizza after her. So they're going to have a pizza named after Katy Perry, and they're going to throw her a party as well. So she's going to have the best Shakey's birthday ever.
And that's the right decision.
That's pretty strong.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know how you get tongue-tied around celebrities?
You mean like Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah. Yeah, I did say that earlier today for the first time while he was on the phone. Gwyneth Paltrow, apparently, you remember she had the president over, and this supposedly she said to him, quote, "You're so handsome that I can't speak properly.
Yeah.
Now, is that because she believes he's that handsome or because she started drinking wine at 10 a.m.?
A little of both.
Or a little of both.
A little of both.
I mean, he's a good-looking dude.
Yes.
Sure. But and I think, you know what?
Being the president adds to it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's part of what's going on is you are a little nervous and starstruck, whoever the president is, on top of him being, you know, a young guy.
Yeah, probably.
And my final story, and I love this so much, Manuel Noriega is back in the news. That's a name we haven't heard in a long, long time.
Panama?
Yeah.
Yes, he was Panama. He is currently in jail. He is 80 years old right now. You remember he was a bad dude. He was killing people left and right, all sorts of political opponents. He was involved in drug trafficking and money laundering. And if I remember correctly, it's all kind of fuzzy now, but the Americans eventually caught him and took him down, if I remember
correctly. I think it was like one of those SEAL Team 6 missions that we were unaware of at the time. But all I remember from that story is his wife bought a lot of shoes. Is that it?
No, that's a different person.
All right. That was the Philippines, right? That was the first lady of the Philippines.
Imelda Marcos. Yeah,
all right, right. Good. Thank you.
So that's all you remember about Manuel Noriega?
That's all I remember about it. It was Manuel Noriega, I remember.
Manuel Noriega, yeah. Right. So he is in the news right now because he is suing Activision Blizzard because of the way they portrayed him and their Call of Duty Black Ops 2 video game.
What?
He's like, hey, you make me look like a bad dude. Activision has hired Rudy Giuliani, New York's former mayor, to defend the court. He's their attorney defending the case in Los Angeles County Superior Court.
What?
How crazy is that?
He's in jail.
Yes, he is.
So we're pretty sure he's a bad guy.
Yes, that's right.
Because he didn't just fall there.
Well, how can this be happening?
How is it not Rudolph, just being thrown out?
Rudolph Giuliani is making the argument that he was guilty of those notorious acts of torture and cocaine trafficking and other crimes that are depicted in the show. And he's like, you're a historical figure who did these things and the company doesn't have to get your permission. And he also points out, and I don't know if this is why they chose him to represent this case or not, but he also points out that he has been, his image has been duplicated all over the world in lots of things that have to do with 9/11. Just because he was the mayor in New York during 9/11.
Sure.
He says, I'm just a part of history. When people talk about that event, they're going to have somebody represent me because I was there. I'm a real person, you know, same as you. Sorry. So it has not yet been thrown out. But it is a current ongoing lawsuit right now.
That's bizarre.
It is.
That's bizarre that could even be in court. Wow. Celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lloyd is 76. Jeff Goldblum, who we all love and everything he does, is 62. Bob Odenkirk is awesome. He's 52. That's awesome. Comedian Carlos Mencia is 47. Shaggy is 46 years old.
She called me Mr. Bombastic. Tell me fantastic. Put me on me box. She says I'm Mr. Romantic. On me fantastic.
This was a thing.
Put me on me box. She says I'm Mr. Romantic.
That was a thing.
Yep, sure was.
Director Spike Jones is 45. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who's so good on Modern Family, is 39. And Zach Hansen is 29 years old. I think we narrowed him down to be the girl drummer from that band.
I think so. I think that's right, yeah.
So that's the deal. That's the Showbiz Beat. Ralph will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we also have Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
We have another doctor, Dr. Shane Adoran, is going to be in to talk about what it seems like all of our listeners have, which is OCD.
She was listening yesterday when we had all those listeners on talking about their crazy OCD habits, like that woman who brushes her teeth 16 times a day and stuff like that. And that's part of what she does in her practice is treat OCD patients. And we thought it might be fascinating to find out how you can break those cycles of addiction if that's what's going on with you.
There are some topics that we question whether we'll get good stories on. Never with OCD. We could open the phones for a full day and go through those. Also, tomorrow morning, we have the girl that Bean alluded to that had to go to hell and back. Cindy Hallam, I believe is her name. She went to Taylor Swift.
She's a Kevin and Bean listener, and she was one of the people who was selected by Taylor to come to the secret sessions where she invited 89 listeners over to, fans of hers over to her house to hear the new record and have home-baked cookies and to dance in the living room and... We're going to find out what that was like.
That sounds fun, Kevin.
It sounds awesome.
Laughing. It sounds fun.
They did. They all got together
and
danced to kick it off. They did.
That's just stupid. And comedian Doug Benson, also in studio tomorrow morning.